Hello, welcome. Welcome, my name is Jan Arden. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to one of the greatest podcasts going. One of the greatest shows. Hey, stop laughing. This is the Jan Arden podcast. I'm here. Well, we're laughing because that may not be true. But you know what? It's true to somebody. Somebody who cares. Our listeners, all nine of them, love this show. I'm here with Caitlin Green. She's back. Adam Karsh never went away.
I'm here.
How can I miss you if you're never gone?
That's right. We played that a few weeks ago.
Hi, guys. Here we are. We're marching into fall. And I just want to say right out of the gate that Alberta is plunging into some kind of zone of, I don't even know what to say, but it's embarrassing. And I just want to say for myself, as an Albertan, there's some awesome people in Alberta. And, of course, the media grabs the worst of the worst all the time. But there's some awesome people that are pulling their weight, that are vaccinated, that have always and continue to show diligence and respect for their fellow citizens. And it's unfortunate we find ourselves in the place that we are, but here we are. And that's all. And now I'm not going to talk about it anymore. It's just like, and goodbye. That's our show for today.
That's it. That's all we're done. Pull him a plug. Just can't handle it after the Alberta situation. I just saw that emergency alert was trending. And I was like, wonder why it's trending. And it was because everybody in Alberta was like, why are we getting this emergency alert? But this has been happening for so long. It's like watching a train really slowly move towards you. And then like 1 second before impact being like, oh, we should send out the emergency alert.
Yeah. Oh my God, the bridge is gone. There's no bridge. We've run out of track.
I felt like emergency alert should have been in like air quotes because I was like, it's urgent, but if you see it coming for months, well,
yeah,
I don't know.
Alberta's open for business. We're not going to do any contact tracing, and you don't have to quarantine anymore. And have a great summer, everybody. I'm your premier, Jason Kenney.
Oh, and, boy.
And now they've disappeared, and then they came on, he did some of the, just the worst emergency management leadership press conference the other day. And everybody, even his ardent followers who have now finally fallen off as well, have just gone, this is terrible leadership. I think I tweeted the other day, the man couldn't lead a parade, never mind a province.
Oh my gosh.
But it is, it's sad. You know, messaging is everything, and you need to rally people. And it's about uniting people. We have a very polarized country, and it's especially obvious in a few of our provinces. And I'll say that Ontario has had its share of stuff because of Doug Ford. I think Doug and Jason share very similar kind of leadership skills, shall we say? It's been so disjointed, Caitlin. It's just been so, the messaging has not been clear. People don't know. I don't blame them for having this false sense of security. They have a guy telling them it's okay. Have people again. Go hug your elderly. Go those backyard barbecues. And there's so many people sick. And once again, I'll just put out this public service message. It is unvaccinated people. 26 people died this past week in a day, in one single day.
All unvaccinated?
All unvaccinated.
I want to put an asterisk next to my initial laugh because like I'm not laughing at anything from the position in Ontario as well. It's like, there shouldn't be no finger pointing from anyone saying like our province handled it better than your province.
No, I'm not doing that.
But I'm saying from my perspective, it's just, you know, you just see it happening and you see these things and it's a bit of a Groundhog Day thing. So I just saw that emergency alert and I thought, well, you know, there's putting out the emergency alert and then there's acting like it's an emergency. I mean, we have our own stuff happening here. Like they just found out that, you know, several billion dollars wasn't spent by our provincial government that was supposed to be earmarked for, I guess, you know, COVID response amongst other things. We have issues with our long-term care homes and with back to school. And there's no shortage of places you could spend money right now to help people and make a difference in their lives. So I saw that. That was a big trending headline this morning and yesterday as well. everyone just kind of going, why would we have had all this money just sitting around when we should be putting, oh, I don't know, air conditioning in LTC homes and spending money on PPE and spending money on better ventilation systems for our schools? Because we all knew this was going to happen. You know, it spreads around through the air. So I don't know. It's, yeah, it's disheartening. I can't, and like, that's why I can't blame people for wanting to believe something good is coming and that they don't have to worry anymore. You know, especially if you've gone and got both shots and you're fully vaccinated and you're kind of like, what the heck else can I do? Like, I've done all I can do. But it's hard and it's polarizing and you just see it all the time. My gosh, the exhaustion I have over seeing polarized people yelling. I'm just, this is why we watch the Met Gala. Like, this is why people just turn on the Met Gala sometimes.
Well, yeah, the magic of entertainment. It really is something else, but better times are ahead. Often that old adage of you got to hit rock bottom before you can push off the bottom and get to the top. I'm not a person that likes contention. I hate seeing people fight. I don't like seeing the protesting in front of hospitals. I've been getting people tweeting me, Jan, it's the actual healthcare workers that are protesting having to take this vaccine. I block them immediately. I'm like, not only are you misinformed, if you look out into that crowd and you're telling me those are healthcare practitioners, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. People yeah. will believe what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. It's so great to see our present prime minister, saying that we are not going to let a small group of people negotiate the terms of how this country looks. I mean, the optics on that globally are terrible, to see Canadian citizens doing that to people that are saving our lives.
That have
foregone their own freedoms, really, by sleeping in campers, by staying away from their families, by not seeing their parents, their grandparents for 20 months. Yeah. To look after your parents, to look after your people.
It's so unkind and it's so classless, and no one inside those hospitals is making policy decisions. None of them. And you're just doing it to try to offend people in the hopes of making headlines. And I hope that the coverage of those protests dwindles down and that the appropriate like response is taken by our authorities to get them out of the way, because there's no reason why cancer patients should be dealing with this type of intensity and yelling and unsafe situations outside of their healthcare settings. It's just, it's disgusting. I can't imagine being more grossed out by a group of people than by people foaming at the mouth and losing their minds over outside of hospitals. It's unforgivable, honestly.
Well,
it really is.
It is very much about people that want to be on television. Mm-hmm, and don't ever negate the power and the allure of media, of having a camera there. Mm-hmm. I would probably venture that most people have no really concrete idea of why they're protesting. I think if you put a camera in front of their face and get any kind of a statement or a comment from them, it will be absolutely nutty and not factual. And, mm-hmm. you know, what are you going to do? Trust the crap you read on the internet or the actual people that are behind the science of trying to save us? Yeah. And we're seeing that all the time. We're seeing vaccines work, I think, better than they even expected. I think the vaccines are proving themselves to be, I think Pfizer was just approved by the FDA.
Yep, it was.
That it's an actual.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So it's an actual, now it's not an experimental drug, so no one can throw that around anymore. And I think the other vaccines will follow suit very quickly. And they'll just get better at them. They'll just get better at how they work, their functionality. But it is, you're right, Caitlin, it's disheartening. And I don't want to dwell on this. We've got lots of things to talk about today. But
guys, we have lots of exciting stuff to talk about today that doesn't involve the biggest bummer story of our time. But it's just that I will just say that, look, there are places to protest. You know, here in our city, that place is Queen's Park. And you go there and protest your little heart out, but don't do it in front of our healthcare workers. Like, they've had
it's terrible.
Really rough go. It's just, it's really not the place.
So, Caitlin, you rode in an Uber to go home today. I think we need to light. It's always great to lighten up any podcast with fart stories. So I'm just going to hand it over to you. This is a good one. Caitlin, how was your Uber ride?
Well, it was longer than normal because there's a lot of construction happening in the city right now. And I was racing home to make it back for this session. First time going into my actual building at work since March of 2020. Ooh. I know.
I haven't been there either.
I know. Yeah. Usually you're there. We have a nice little hangout.
I see you in the station. We run into each other in the little kitchenette and we hang out and we chat or you sit with me in the studio.
It's weird to miss a building, but I did. And yeah. I love my job and I love everyone I work with so much. So, but anywho, the part that I didn't miss was the Uber rides to and from. And on my way back, and I want to know, is this socially acceptable to deduct stars for an Uber driver who continually passes wind in the car? I feel like maybe that should cost you a star or two.
That is definitely a star. It might be a star. And is there like a wind button you can hit? Like, is there, could be a movie. Watch out for this driver. He has a very fibrous diet. But you know what? I do, you know, have been known to occasionally pass wind, but very gently, very gently.
We're all humans. I'm not trying to be hard on someone, but it was repeated. I have a mask on and all the windows are open because it's trying to be like ventilation. So if I am noticing this repeatedly, if I'm concerned that I'm somehow contracting pink eye from this ride, then like, I think it's gone overboard. It felt like an attack. I felt like it was a personal attack. I mean, we had a nice rapport. I thought we were going to be like, you know, pals for 20 minutes or so. And so I guess if we've decided as a show that I can deduct a star for this, then I will. Because I don't like doing that. I hate giving a low rating. I'm like a 5-star all the time.
This is so exciting. You're listening to the Jan Arden Podcast. We'll be right back. Everybody farts. Everybody farts. Everybody farts. Everybody farts. Welcome back to the Jan Arden Podcast. I hope you're enjoying today's show. I'm trying to work on my tone a little bit to make it more enticing to want to listen to us late at night when you're laying down in bed. Anyway, I don't know how that's working for me. Caitlin Green, I'm handing, you know, our topics over to you. I'm tired out. I just don't know what I even want to talk about today. And I want to put a little more of the onus on you today. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to ask us anything? Like what? Go.
I really like that obscene caller voice you just did, first of all. We should start more breaks like that. Okay, but I did want to ask, I have a funny thought. Britney Spears, this week, she deleted her Instagram account. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
Yes, I did see that.
This is a thing that's like, people do this sometimes. You know, probably people you know in your life will announce that they're deleting their social media account, and they delete it only to come back later. Other celebrities have done this. Chrissy Teigen did this previously. And then she always winds up coming back and then everyone roasts her for it because it seems pointless. But so Britney deletes her account. And this is the thing I always question with celebrities who do this. Don't you think they just have burner accounts anyways? Don't you think they just have secret accounts? So it's not like they deleted social media. They've deleted this public profile that has all these followers. They've cleaned it out. But they have burner accounts.
For sure.
They 100% do. Okay. So then, Jan, do you have a secret burner account?
I kind of do. You know what? There's people, I'm going to say this, like exes and things like that I kind of do want to peek in on. I use Mitty's account. See, now that I'm saying that, because I'm not going to delete Mitty's account. I'm still posting pictures of her.
No, you should leave it. You should leave it.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, if there's things that I want to creep around on, they may have, like, blocked me.
Yeah.
But Mitty's account, I can sort of just, they went there. Oh, they're in, they went groceries. So I think burner accounts are probably a good idea. Listen, I know someone, a friend of mine's got 4 accounts.
Yes.
And I'm always looking at all of her accounts. She's like, oh, if you want to actually get my real personal stuff, you can go on to blankety blank. Because I do most of my personal thoughts and bits of poetry there. So instead of looking at my name or under this, this is what I'm under, and it's some random handle.
Because this is what I've wondered for a while. If you have any sort of public persona, you have to have your kind of like business front-facing profile. And it's on social media. It's like, it's not an option anymore. It's actually just work. But I've thought for so long that I I think I need a burner account. I think I need a separate one where Definitely. I can post my like darker humor. You know, I can like follow the accounts I really want. I can like comment on things. Cause I don't do any of that stuff now. I'm a very like politically correct person on like Instagram all the time. But I think I want a secret account for it. The Britney deletion made me think of it because I realized she definitely has one. She definitely has a bunch.
Of course.
Oh, for sure. I've often thought about doing something on Twitter. Obviously, I'm Jan Arden on Twitter. And most of the people that I'm responding to or retweeting or the people that come after me are usually Banana1579.
Yes.
So I'm not dealing with anyone with an actual name. And they're like, Jan, we need to protect ourselves. You know, you can get, don't you know you can be attacked on here? My job, I could get fired for some of my opinions, so I can't use my name. There's all this crap. I can't, and I'm just like, well, it's okay for me to use my name. So it's going to come at you, purple throbbing doorknob, can come after me for any kind of an opinion I have, but and do it with this sort of this hidden glee. So you may well find comments popping up. I need to figure out a handle
on Twitter. Do.
Perhaps that's what I need to do. I need to maneuver through there and start going after people that and just hurling insults. But
I really want to. Okay, what made me also think of this too was that I don't necessarily want to like leave mean comments for people. But sometimes I'll see Chris Evans looking really great in a photo, and I'm like, well, I can't comment a bunch of like flames under that because it's my account. So it's embarrassing. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people, just regular humans, and you know, Chris Hemsworth, another Hollywood Chris, will post a workout video. And there will just be the horniest comments you've ever seen in your life. And I'll click sometimes on the profiles, assuming these are going to be fake accounts or something. And then it will just be, you know, Barb Joanne 47, and it'll be her full open profile, and it will reveal that, you know, she's a daycare worker in Cincinnati who was just thirsting after Chris Hemsworth. And those are some of my favorite moments on the internet, when you realize that people maybe don't know how things work,
right?
And that everyone can see you doing this.
Well, that's what I was saying, but I can't use my real name. My boss, you know, I'm a high school principal.
Yeah.
But you can come after me and completely insult me and call me fat and you're a mediocre singer and you're a waste of time and shut up and sing. But I always go after those people anyway as me. But I just – people – I'm with you, Caitlin. I don't think they actually understand when they're commenting on something that you can kind of see where they're at. I always click on profiles and I'm always getting a kick out of their profiles. Kindness. Understanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thoughts are all my own. Believe in angels. And this person has just called me basically a fat turd. And they are just like, the vaccine is the government. And you click on their profile, and it's literally angels, creativity, meditation, opinions. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, or like the best too is when it'll say, you know, like loving grandfather of five. And then they don't realize on Twitter that you can see all the things that they like. So if you click on their likes and it's just all they're doing is going through and liking every single video of like a jiggling butt on the internet. And it's bizarre. I don't think this is sometimes when I wonder, you know, are these people who perhaps didn't grow up in the age of the internet, might be a little older and have never really taken the time to learn how much of this is visible to everyone else? Because I don't think that they would want you to see that. Like, I don't think Gary, you know, in his house realizes how much you can see. That is funny. And also as someone who, because again, you work in media, so sometimes you get, you know, emails, like nasty emails from people saying, you know, they didn't like something you said or did or whatever, or something someone else said that they think you know. Please send this to them. I hate them. Hey, I hate this person. I think you know. Can you send this email to them? Absolutely not. I've received those. Those are funny. But when they send you this email, you receive a lot of information about them because I don't think that they get that.
Oh.
But like sometimes when you send an email to someone, we can see your IP address, everyone. Like, stop doing this.
I'm often so taken aback to, you know, we live in a world where I think people just say things to get your attention, to have your ear. They want to mm-hmm. be noticed. Often during my horse shit campaign with the Canadian Horse Defense Coalition, trying to stop the live export of horses from Canada to Japan, I get a ton of support, 99% of support.
Mm-hmm.
But you have these odd random guys that will send, horse, love it, tasty, going to yeah. barbecue that. I click on their accounts and I see a picture, dog loving family man. Their profile picture is of a dog and a cat and a wife standing there with two kids. And I really shake my head at the absurdity of how people perceive, how they put themselves out there and how they make their way through the world, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is the hypocrisy of those kinds of comments when you've got pets. Like, are you an animal lover or what are you? Because you're just sounding so foolish.
I actually also, I'm even one level more cynical. I think some of those people are honest to God high school students who build entire fake profiles in the vibe of whoever they want to emulate. And then as a result, kind of tick off the people that wouldn't like someone like that. I mean, because did you see, this was another trending thing that happened. I think it was either this week or last, but Andy Cohen, who is the guy behind All the Housewives, he's on Bravo. He received this really nasty DM from some random account and he actually replied. And it was something about something awful about him being a terrible parent or something, because he has a new child. And so he actually wrote back to them and said, oh, what do you think I'm doing wrong? And the person went, oh my God, I didn't think this was really your account or really you. I was just saying that for no reason. I'm really sorry. And they just don't even think that there's another person on the other end of it. So they just send this being like, bleh. And then he actually wrote back and then he posted it on his socials and he said social media in a nutshell. And I really think that's it. That's why, I don't know, but I just like could not care less what anyone on social media ever says to me, because I think it's those people usually behind the keyboard at home.
You're listening to the Jen Arden Podcast. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the internet. Have a look around. Anything that brain of yours can think of can be found. We've got mountains of content, some better, some worse. If none of it's of interest to you, you'd be the first.
Welcome back to the Jan Arden Podcast. Do you know how to work the internet? Do you know how Twitter works? Do you know that whatever you like on Twitter, anybody can click on your profile and see if you're liking Nazis or nude nuns or whatever it is that you're fancying? People can see that. So do you know how to work it? I'm venturing to say that a good majority, I'm going to say 75%, don't understand threads on Twitter. They don't understand what people can see. Getting back to your Andy Cohen comment of him actually not calling someone out, but responding to a derogatory tweet. You're a terrible parent, Andy Cohen.
He's just like, oh, what do you think I'm doing wrong? And the guy, it was an Instagram DM, and the person wrote back and just didn't think he was a real person and running that account. And he is.
I was talking about the protesting on Twitter a few days ago, and a fellow came on and said, why don't you just stick to your mediocre singing? And I
so mean.
Quoted what he said to me and said, I would rather be mediocre at everything than be you.
Well yeah. done. I'm applauding.
So I try and use humor, and then I let the internet do its thing.
Well, that's what it is. Then everyone else just does it.
Because everybody gets on there and does it. But I think they're always shocked if I respond in that way. I think immediately, and we've talked about this before, people remove their comments. They can't take the heat, and they remove them. It says comment not available within 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think I saw that happen recently. Someone sent, it was a very threatening DM to an actress, and she posted about it and used it. And like, credit to her, she actually showed their entire profile. So then they ended up having to delete their whole profile. I don't feel like people get that, like, actual people exist on the internet, and the things you're saying doesn't make a lot of sense, and you look like a total lunatic if you're just coming for celebrities all the time. It's just not, it doesn't look normal at all. And I don't think people know that you can see what they like. Now, I should say, not because, just because somebody likes something doesn't mean that I think that they necessarily, if it's just a one-off.
It's part of what a sense that you get. You also can see when they're responding, it's all celebrities that they're commenting to.
Yes. So that's what that's exactly right. So, you know, sometimes people like something by mistake, right? So they're scrolling and you tap the heart by accident.
I've done
and
that.
Some of those things can get left there. And that does happen. So not talking about those people, but the people who their entire life, they just go on and like the same type of stuff. Then you do get an idea of what they are, if it's the same thing all the time. And this awkward thing happened. Now, I don't know if this is still something that you can see on Instagram. It used to be, but you used to be able to see a full list of everyone that you follow. It was like a special screen, and everyone that you follow, it would show all the stuff that they like. So it would say, you know, Jan Arden has liked these four photos, or, you know, Adam Karch added this person. I think they took this away and replaced it with the Explore page. But back when, 2 years ago, I was on it, and there was someone I knew from work, awkwardly, and all they were doing was going through and liking adult film stars content. And
do I know this person?
You do, I think.
Was it me?
Like, I don't think
don't
you know.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Was it me? No, it wasn't me.
It wasn't Adam. Adam was just liking a bunch of burgers. That's what you do. I know you're you just go through and like all the food stuff.
I like all the food blogs, yeah.
Yeah, so that was one of those things too, where I felt like this person can't tell that I can see, and that everybody who follows them mm-hmm. can get a quick snapshot of all the stuff they're liking on Instagram in this one page. And it just was one of those days where I guess the individual wanted to go through and like a lot of X-rated type content, which is, you know, do whatever, like Jan, as you say, whatever blows your skirt up. Yeah, exactly. But I just don't want to know about it.
I don't want that public. That's so embarrassing.
Sometimes I feel like people do want that public. I
don't think they did.
I feel like, anyway, I guess the point is most people don't understand how much information they're putting out there.
No.
It's just a lack of knowledge how to make your way through social media platforms. And they're all very different. Instagram is extremely mm-hmm. different from Twitter. They're completely different personalities. Mm-hmm. If you're just starting out down this road, folks, and if you're listening to this and you want to get started on a social media, I highly recommend Instagram. It's a really good bet. If you're mm-hmm. looking at teenagers, like TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, they can all be fairly combative, but for some reason, Instagram is pretty tame.
I agree.
Yeah, Instagram's not bad.
And you can remove comments. You can also stop people from commenting. So if you want to go on there and just post pictures that you like for your friends, if you're on a trip to wherever, not that there's a lot of trips going on, but you can also hit a thing where people can't comment to you.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's good for your kids too, or young people, that they can post something of themselves and they don't have anybody. They can't read anything and people don't have an opportunity to comment. A lot of celebrity people, I see them doing that on their stories. You can look at their stories, you can look at wherever they are, and they can actually really control who can see what, who can comment where, and that's a pretty good thing to do. Okay, Caitlin, anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I like Twitter is my sort of immediate preferred one, just because it's great for curating. Like, you can just get a quick idea of what's going on in the world. So that's why I like it. Also, you'll notice if you're on Instagram and you're on TikTok, a lot of the, you know, meme accounts and the really great, the huge following humor accounts, they get all their content from Twitter. All the funny stuff starts on Twitter because that's where all the comedy writers are.
Yeah. Hey, don't get me wrong. I love Twitter. And I always say Twitter is my bitch because I think it's an immediate response for me. I try and count to 10 before I comment or before I send something out there. But I also take no prisoners. There's no holds barred. And I express my opinion. And I'm at an age where I really don't care what anyone thinks. And I'm right.
Well, it's also, the thing is with social media, you know, you're choosing to follow and see who you choose to follow and see. So if you don't like stuff that you're seeing, you don't need to yell about it into the abyss. You just unfollow people and keep it moving.
Yeah, don't follow me. You don't like what I'm saying? Don't follow me.
Yeah, I thought that's just something that's always driven me a little bit nuts about social media. Like, you curate it yourself. So I'm not going to follow someone who I can't stand, because why would I do that? It just, you're driving yourself crazy. Did you, how did, like, I have to comment on the passing of Norm Macdonald this week. That just.
Oh, God, that stung.
That did. It did really sting.
I am one of those people that didn't know he was unwell.
That, same, same. Absolutely. Of course, yeah, it was very private. And he's young, 61 years old, private struggle with cancer for, I think it was 9 or 10 years. And
oh, gosh.
I just remember thinking that he was, you know, obviously Canadian. So there's a special connection for Canadians to him always throughout his career. But I just remember watching him when I was a kid on SNL and thinking he was just one of those breaths of fresh air. He just did something so different and so his own. He was so himself all the time. And it was just when everyone's walking in one direction, he's walking in the other. And, you know, it might have meant that he wasn't necessarily for everyone or that lots of people sometimes didn't get his comedy. But, man, I loved it just for being so different. And he always made me laugh so hard. I was super sad about that this week.
There was a report journalist. I think it was a print piece he was doing. And the journalist said, "So, Norm, were you like always a class clown at school?" And he goes, "No. My family was poor. I couldn't afford the shoes."
Oh,
so I mean, I'm not doing it any justice, folks. But he took that whole sentiment to a whole different place of thinking about a clown outfit and that he couldn't afford the shoes. Yeah. So no, I wasn't all the time. I couldn't afford the shoes, and that to me really was summed up his kind humor. There's been the most heartwarming, gut-wrenching, wonderful tributes to him. And you can always tell when a person has lived their lives in a way that is full of dignity, support for other people, someone who is absolutely altruistic, cheering people on. Every single person that has commented about Norm Macdonald has had these shining, glorious, very moving stories about their interactions with him. However brief, however slight, however short, he left a lasting impression, and we can only hope to leave that in our tale as we leave this planet. It was very impressive, continues to be impressive. Yeah. I think we're all proud of him that he was Canadian. I know that when I watched SNL, I'm like, he's Canadian. You're listening to the Jan Arden Podcast. We'll be right back.
Now, listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news? I always watch the news. And I'll tell you something about the news. I don't understand it. But it's for some reason I watch it. I don't even know why, but I think I'm supposed to or something. So I'll watch it, and then the guy will come on, and he'll go, "Anyways, today, the deficit." And then I'll go, "Ah, ha, ha, I've heard that word." And the guy goes, "Today, the Dow Jones NASDAQ Composite Index is down." And then I go, "That's not good." Down. Up. I like when it's up. That's my opinion on the.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our show, Jan Arden Podcast. I'm here with Adam Karsh, and the wonderful Caitlin Green joins us again. We're happy to have you back, Caitlin. Every time I see you, I'm just like, yay.
It is so nice to be back. I mean, I needed obviously to take the time away that I did, yes. But it feels great coming back and doing work stuff again. And it does really remind me that I feel very fortunate to like what I do for a living, because, you know, that's just something special when work doesn't really feel like work. I mean, parts of it always will. There's always some stuff that you're like, oh, but for the most part, it's pretty sweet.
Oh, for sure. You cannot go wrong in pursuing something that gives you that sense of joy. A lot of times it's hard for people to recognize even what they like these days. What do I like to do?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's been, I don't know, it's been a difficult 18 months, I feel, for people. But boy, we've sure figured out a lot of people switching careers.
Yes.
A lot of people making big changes, moving out of the city, mm-hmm. buying a 3-acre plot of land by a pond. People have done some extraordinarily big moves in their life the last 18 months. Prompted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's been probably good for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it gave some people the opportunity to look inward, and maybe some things happened in their life where they decided to move. I mean, moving never felt, I don't think, more appealing than it did during this pandemic. That's for sure. So yeah, it feels good to be back at work. I quite like it. And you're back kind of like Jan, like I think about for so long when we would talk, you were always just at home in Calgary and your background was always trees. And your background right now is a very nice looking studio.
I'm at the Warehouse Studio. It's owned by Brian Adams. It's just on the very fringe of Gastown. It's an interesting area. A lot of history here. Apparently someone told me that there was an excellent ghost walk through Gastown.
Oh.
I wish I had more time to do stuff like that. People probably make the assumption that, oh, you're there for 2 weeks. What did you do? I sat in a room, listened to really loud music being played back at me, which was my songs that by the end of the mixing process, I'm like, I never want to hear this again.
Well, the thing that's funny is I've actually been to that studio.
Oh, do tell.
So I, many years ago, helped for a shoot for, you know, the band Finger 11?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So they were doing a live DVD type thing back when DVDs were a thing, back when record labels paid bands to make a DVD of a live of a live event. And it was Finger 11 at that exact studio. I can't even remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago. And I remember, I wonder if the area is the same or if it's improved even since then, because when you're doing a shoot, you have so much, and Jane, you know this, we have so much expensive equipment with you that we had to load, you have to load in, and we came in through a little like alley almost. And then there's like an enclosed gated load in area.
Yep.
And the, because it's close to like East Hastings, the people nearby were very interested in assessing the value of what was and was not being loaded in and out. And it was like, I remember thinking this was such a beautiful space, but it was next door to some not so nice areas of Vancouver.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the drug also, it's another epidemic, another war being raged in the hearts of some human beings that are just, it's heartbreaking, really. There's needles everywhere. You have to be very mindful here. But they're in one area, and they're generally quite harmless. I don't mind walking through here. They want to talk to you, especially when I had my little dog. I talked to so many addicts that were just like, hey, your little dog, and can I pet your dog? And and I always said yes. I thought Mitty can handle herself. They were always kind. Think there's a lot of bad raps that can happen, but drugs are a disease, and I hope people, I've certainly softened my stance over the years. I have to say I was very guilty of a prejudice against people with addictions. I've been working in the studio for the better part of 25 years, and I've seen it at various times. I know during the Olympics they really worked very hard to clean this area out. And that's a terrible way of putting it, but to kind of move people or get them into, because there was a lot of tourism. They were coming for the Olympics, but it's very bad now. The COVID crisis has exacerbated the drug problem, and it's gut wrenching. It hasn't changed much, Caitlin.
Yeah, you see here in Toronto, and that's the nature of any big city, is that you have some rough and tumble neighborhoods that are adjacent to some of the most beautiful neighborhoods. I mean, that happens here in Cabbage Town in Toronto, because it's such a beautiful historic neighborhood. But yeah, like you live downtown, it takes all sorts. And yes, that was
the grace of God, right?
Exactly. But yeah, I remember that being, because Gastown's beautiful. Like, it really is a stunning part of town. And I haven't been back to Vancouver. I think that was actually the last time I was there. But that is such a spectacular city, because they just have the mountains and the ocean. And to get that huge, you know, feast for the eyes in a major, major city, I mean, it's a pretty, I have always really loved it.
Oh,
I got to get back.
It's a gorgeous city. I'm always blown away and filled with gratitude whenever I work here. Mm-hmm. It's a short flight from Calgary. It's maybe an hour. And I stay close to the sea while I went walking with my friend Leah Gauthier, who's one of the co-writers of The Jan Show, which will be airing September the 27th. It's a Monday night, our premiere of season 3 on CTV. Join us.
Good plug.
The first 100 people that are watching will get an egg salad sandwich. I don't know how we're going to prove that. Can you imagine? I knock on your door and hand you an egg salad sandwich. Well, it won't be egg salad because I don't eat eggs, damn it. It'll be a chickpea salad sandwich. But it's, yeah, it's a gorgeous city. And there's no end to the stuff you can do here. I do love marching around the seawall. It's not half as exciting as my road, but it's a close second.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm from Toronto and I love Toronto. I do.
I love Toronto too. I love Toronto. I'm going to be in Toronto.
The waterfront is not what it should be, considering how beautiful the lake is.
Yes.
It's getting there.
It is getting there. They are trying, but you know, I am in my 30s and it's still such a work in progress right now. Oh my gosh, Janet, when you come back to see your condo the next time you're in town, which I believe is soonish.
I'll be podcasting with you guys from Toronto next time. We're all going to be together.
Amazing.
I'm so excited about this. But you will notice I want a full update, like, because if you thought that traffic and construction was bad in this city before, in the last few weeks, I live in the east end of the city. It is impossible to get anywhere. Like, it's just, it's brutal. This is why you sit in Ubers that have bad gas for as long as you do.
We could talk about gas stories.
Shouldn't have brought it back up.
But no, we could dedicate an entire podcast to it. But honestly, the worst one I've ever smelled, I was in an elevator. And here's where you go. This is where it gets so mathematical almost. Stepped into an elevator with a man in a beautiful suit, very handsome man. We took our opposing corners, as you do in an elevator, because you get as far away as you can.
Of course.
We were going up to like the 18th floor, because I remember it vividly. I was at King One. I was staying there. I was going up the elevator. One of us farted. And it wasn't me.
One of us.
There was two people in that elevator. Two people. So he knew it was him.
Could you hear it?
I knew it was him because it wasn't me. It was the longest. I felt like I was taking an elevator to the moon.
Oh, my gosh.
He looked like he was perspiring.
He probably like wasn't just, well.
I don't know what was going on, but I stepped out. On the 18th was my floor and he kept going up. He was probably so glad that I was getting out. But it's weird when you know there's two people.
Yes, exactly.
It would have been so much easier with five people because it would have been more like a Russian roulette situation.
When you're alone in an Uber, and this has happened to me now, this has happened a few times because I'm a frequent user. But you're alone in an Uber, I feel like I'm giving them wide eyes through the rear view mirror. Like, really? Really? Did you think you were going to get away with it? Then, though, I do realize there are a few intersections, a few stretches of road in Toronto. One is, it's Richmond, and there is like a portion of Richmond that just smells. The Bathurst Bridge. Thank you, Adam. It does just smell.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, and I assume that most drivers in the city would know this, but sometimes you drive over them. And it's just the smell of the city and the sewer. And I also feel like I want to make a disclaimer to the driver and say, that's not me. Like, I hope you know that's not me. That's just how the stretch of the city smells.
Right.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show.
I hope you've enjoyed this.
What a way to end things. Caitlin Green, Adam Karsh, Jan Arden Podcast. We are thrilled to have you. You can listen to us on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We appreciate you guys very much. And if just General Farts would like to sponsor our show. We know who you are.
If Bino wants to sponsor us, you can find us on social media.
Bino, thank you. We'll see you next time, everybody. Toodly-doo.
This podcast is distributed by the Women in Media Podcast Network. Find out more at womeninmedia.network.